place of Indonesia. These are headlines. Indonesia launches pre-nutritious meals program with nationwide kitchen training. Creative economy seen as a key to preventing lay of Indonesia amid US trade pressures. I am Ahmad Faisal, and this is the news in details. Solution to prevent layoff and boost employment in Indonesia. Anir Romani has the details.
Indonesia is being urged to focus on the creative economy to help prevent job losses that could result from changes in the US trade policy. Speaking on the Voitalk program with a Voice of Indonesia researcher from National Research and Innovation Agency, NARAWI, on Wednesday said the government's upcoming layoff task force should work with companies and workers to find solutions beyond layoffs.
The layoff task force, of course, should work with the industry to take the layoff as the first priority, because you know what, because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry, dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sector that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs.
He added that Indonesia has strong potential in this sector and that it could also support small and medium-sized businesses, which help the economy stay afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, he also said the task force should focus on improving worker skills, especially in the informal sector, so that more Indonesians can find better jobs and income.
Indonesia is scaling up its free nutritious meals program by training the people who will run public kitchens across the country with an investment of $10 billion. More details from Dora Pardede.
The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, known locally as Kadin, launched a new office to support the country's free nutritious meals task force in Jakarta on Tuesday. Kadin Chairman Aninia Bakri said the new consultation and assessment center will offer training and certification for public kitchen managers who will be responsible for preparing and distributing meals through what's called Nutrition Fulfillment Service Unit, or SPPG in Indonesia.
The name bakal mulai training actually starts tomorrow. The idea is to make sure that anyone who wants to set up a kitchen under this program can get certified.
With the government allocating over 170 trillion rupiah, around $10 billion, to the program, Aninia stressed the need for everything to be done professionally and transparently. The goal is to launch 1,000 public kitchens across the country. As a first step, 6 pilot kitchens will be rolled out and are expected to be up and running before Indonesian Independence Day on August 17th. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia and UNICEF launch digital cold chain training module to strengthen vaccination efforts. Alfred Regina has the report.
The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Health has officially launched the digital cold chain immunization training module. This is part of the country's continued efforts to protect every child from vaccine preventable diseases. Andrei Tulisov, team leader at UNICEF Indonesia, highlighted the importance of this initiative, calling it a major step forward in strengthening Indonesia's vaccination services.
UNICEF Indonesia supports the development of digital module on cold chain and vaccine management to equip thousands of healthcare workers across Indonesia from national to puskesmas level with updated knowledge and practical skills to ensure vaccine potency and timely delivery to each the eligible children. The innovation of MOOCC embodies the Ministry of Health and UNICEF commitment to equity and capacity building, accessible 24/7, from all locations across the country, self-paced and aligned with national guidelines.
Tulisov also praised the collaborations behind the initiative, which involves government partners, universities and development agencies. He stressed that continued innovations and teamwork are key to building a stronger, more resilient health system in Indonesia.
UNICEF applauds Indonesia's launch of Early Childhood Development Index 2030. Desi Arganov has the report.
The government of Indonesia has officially launched the Early Childhood Development Index 2030, or ECDI 2030, as part of its 2024 National Family Enumerations. The initiative is seen as a major step forward in protecting children's rights and supporting the country's vision for Golden Indonesia 2045. Deputy Representative of UNICEF Indonesia, Jan Lokena, welcomed the move and praised the government's commitment to placing early childhood at the heart of national development planning. He called the index a strong example of cross-sector collaboration to raise a healthy and competitive generation.
Today we celebrate a major step in early childhood development in Indonesia. Ensuring the protection and promotion of child rights is essential to fostering an environment where children can thrive and contribute to the future success of the nation. UNICEF would like to acknowledge Indonesia's strong efforts and commitment to ensuring that every child reaches their full potential. A child's early years are the most crucial for the physical, cognitive, and emotional development.
ECDI 2030 allows the government to track children's development in a comprehensive way, covering health, education, nutrition, protection, and emotional well-being. The index has been in development since 2021 through a partnership between UNICEF, the Ministry of National Development Planning, BAPENAS, and Statistics Indonesia, BPS, and the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection. With its nationwide launch, Indonesia government aims to strengthen database policies to ensure every child grow up healthy, smart, and happy.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. BRIM highlights data science as a key to strengthening Indonesia's disease response. Ofra Regina, share the details.
Indonesia's National Research and Innovations Agency, known as BRIM, is highlighting the vital role of data science in enhancing the country's ability to monitor and respond to infectious disease outbreaks. Speaking during a webinar titled Digital Epidemiology, Transforming Health Studies Through Data Science on Wednesday, the head of BRIM's Research Center for Data and Information Science, Esa Prakasa, said that big data and digital modeling are revolutionizing epidemiology in Indonesia.
In the era of big data and digital transformation, data science has enormous potential, particularly in epidemiological research. By using spatial and temporal modeling and identifying risk factors, we can predict and detect disease outbreaks earlier, allowing for better decision-making at the national level.
Esa also stressed the need to combine data from many sources to speed up disease response. This helps health authorities act faster and more effectively to protect public health.
Indonesia is making a major push to strengthen its rural economies with a huge fund distribution. Here is Dora Pardede has with more.
The State Bank Association of Indonesia, or Himbara, will be distributing 250 trillion rupiah, around $15.8 billion, to villages this year through village cooperatives. The goal is to help boost the local economies in rural areas. The Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, shared the news at the Islamic Community Unity Congress in Jakarta on Tuesday.
In Jakarta, we need to build the village economy so that the villages can grow independently and creatively.
The minister went on to explain that the government is setting up these cooperatives across the country to streamline the supply chain for basic
Anapriya's commentary titled Threats of Layoff and US Tariff Policy, What Should Be Done with Anapriya Kasie.
The increasingly protectionist US tariff policy will have a major impact on the global economy, especially in the form of the threats of layoffs. Many countries that depend on exports to the US will be negatively impacted by this tariff policy, including Indonesia. Based on data from the Center of Economic and Law Studies of Syria, around 1.2 million workers in Indonesia are potentially affected by layoffs due to the import tariff policy of US President Donald Trump, especially in labor-intensive sectors such as textiles, footwear, and furniture, which are expected to weaken. The threats of layoffs due to the US tariff policy doesn't mean that the economy in Indonesia will weaken or even collapse. In fact, amid the economic uncertainty that is occurring in Indonesia and the world, opportunities are wide open for those who are creative. Analysts of the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, Nawawi, in a dialogue session with Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, highlighted the opportunities for developing the creative economy sector, which could be an alternative in dealing with the risk of layoffs that might occur as a result of US trade policies towards Indonesia. He said a risk could be done through the termination of employment task force, which the government will form in the near future, in collaboration with entrepreneurs and workers to find a joint solution. Indonesia actually has great opportunities in utilizing the creative economy sector, which is considering the high potential of resources in rising the community's economy through micro, small, and medium enterprises. A real example of their ability to survive during a crisis is when several years ago Indonesia was hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, which paralyzed the economic sector. Micro, small, and medium enterprises have proven to be able to survive and support the national economy there. To overcome the emergence of waves of layoffs in Indonesia, companies need to increase their competitive capabilities and product diversification to reduce dependence on the US market. The government must also increase international cooperation to reduce protectionism and increase fair trade. In addition, workers should improve their skills and abilities to adapt to an increasingly dynamic job market. If it is able to utilize and develop existing opportunities, Indonesia can reduce the risk of layoffs and increase its economic resilience, even play an important role in the global market. That was commentary.
Listener, that commentary concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Bye.
Bimba Bathundo. The song was composed by Ayah Ubik. It means in front of the door. The lyrics tell the story of a wife waiting for her husband at the door. The wife hopes her husband will come home soon. The song Bimba Bathundo also became the soundtrack of the movie Chut Nhat Dinh in 1988. In the movie, Chut Nhat Dinh waits for her husband, Tengku Ibrahim, to return home to fight against the invaders. Similar to the song Bimba Bathundo. Well, listen, here is the song Bimba Bathundo by Liza Aulia.
She was sick. Chut Nhat Dinh always upheld her principles and believed in Islam.
Hey, Pooja, I'm happy. So stay up my lamp. I go to the door. first time it was serious from the song? Yes, but at least this song with much hope can also entertain your activities and your time even. Maybe right now you're still doing your activities or still you're taking a rest and maybe just having fun. Hopefully this can also entertain your time, sir. And this time from the song is also SBN our togetherness with Nona Faisal and also the crew on duty. So please keep on listening to our program of segments with our music and even our features and fillers that would like to accompany you up to 6 p.m. local time, Jakarta. Have a nice day and see you tomorrow, listener.
relate with breathtaking beauty. But few people know that Ende has hundreds of different cultures in every region. Therefore, we take you to a tradition village, which is located 12 kilometers to the east from the city of Ende, namely, Molotovo Village, the city of Argos in Greek story. That's what people may cross through their mind when setting foot in the village and seeing it from the height of about 800 meters above sea level. We are getting amazed after 30 minutes of driving from the city center of Ende. Passing through semi-hot mixed road, along the coast of Nang Anesa, with waves and sparkling black sand, which have particular charm. Precisely in front of Molotovo Church, which stands steadily, we begin our journey to the center of traditional kampong. We trace rising paths and pass through village, meeting people with friendliness. They cannot hesitate to smile at us while doing their activities. Children are playing and running around, enjoying beautiful moments. Before arriving in the center of traditional kampong, we should meet Bernardo's Bey to ask permission. He is Mozalaki, or custom leaders in Molotovo Village. He is precisely called Mozalaki because Samu, who plays a key role in every traditional processions in the village. The middle-aged man guides us to Nuapu'u, or the origin kampung, where Sauria, or big houses, are situated. There are two Sauria in the village, namely Sau Atalaki and Sau Sui. They are wooden stilt houses with umbea as the roof, with steady rocks arrangement, which have existed since the first generation to the seventh.
This house is already for the first generation. It was not noticed yet. This house is symbolic, related to territory rights of the custom white people. It symbolizes working together and nurturing. This house was built with a ritual ceremony.
Every house is inhabited by two tribes. Each tribe only has three heads of families, which means every Sauria is inhabited by six heads of families. Now we take you to enter Sau Atalaki to explore parts of the house. Sau Atalaki has two sides, the left and the right side. Every wooden building side, which is inhabited by two tribes, has three rooms, with each name and function. There are Wajabu Uria, Wajalulu, and Wajatenda.
Di dalamnya ada tiga bagian. Yang pertama bagian Buria, setelah Buria Wajalulu, yang kedua Wajatenda.
There are parts inside the house. They are Wajabu Uria, Wajalulu, and Wajatenda. The first one is inhabited by the first child, because Bu itself means the oldest. Then there is a place to keep the ancestors' heritage objects. There is also a place for Mozalaki to discuss. In front of the house, there is a place for Mishawara, or deliberation and traditional ritual. After that, there are bedroom and kitchen. The position is the same, both in the left and the right side.
To build and renovate a traditional house, it takes months and even years through various traditional ceremonies, which need high cost at least 2 billion rupiah. That was the golden amount of field by Bernardo's Day. Although most of Molotovo villagers are plantation farmers, they are willing to pay a big amount of fun for traditional affairs. Moreover, their relatives who have been wandering are willing to do that. In 2005, Sau Atalaki was renovated, starting from the making of temporary gubuk or hut to the process of rope yarn spinning, which was arranged for traditional ceremony. This one rope yarn was used to pull pegs of wood called Kaitkelu Lulu. Then people break down the house and held a traditional ceremony to move their heritage objects to a temporary hut, which was built before the ceremony. After it was all done, the ceremony called Lealako to prevent bad luck during the construction process of the traditional house was held.
Lealako itu di mana para tukang dengan
Lealako ceremony is when construction workers clear the location, both in the kampung and in the forest. We should give food in four directions to stay away from bad luck and the potatoes. They give rain to the ruler of the forest before cutting the woods. Animal is given as sacrificed animal. Once it arrives in the last phase of construction, offering is put again to show thanks and gratitude to the ruler of the forest.
After all construction materials are complete, the people do Tenda Sau ceremony. The all-night long ceremony features pandak and gali dance. In the morning, people go back to work to put leke pera, house pole with offerings. People say that it has a magical power and it functions as supporting poles for other poles. It is the main pole which will hold back any kinds of disaster. It is in the right side of the house. This process is done for 4 years. There are special days in the process of traditional house construction, where all villagers are prohibited to do any activities, including raiding or doing house chores. The days are considered as purification to make the traditional house sacred.
After putting leke pera, putting blocks for the pole is done in 4 days. After that, there are 4 days of purification in which the house owner, construction workers, and all villagers are prohibited to do any activities. The house is fenced with leaves to make it sacred. Within 4 days, activities like weaving and extracting are stopped. They cannot touch the house either. The 4 days off are special for its house purification. After that, the construction begins again in a ceremony.
Although the traditional house is constructed, the people cannot immediately live in the house. There are more series of traditional ceremonies. Before the launching ceremony, in the dusk, precisely at 6, custom leaders start bad luck prevention process again by giving offerings in 4 directions to repel bad spirit in the village, forest, and in the sky. In the evening, the ceremonies of Golanyo, Okemuku, and Gawikea are held in Kedakanga, which is participated by regional government officials and all Mozalaki in Molotovo Village. Kedakanga is a place where their ancestors did worship with one stone monument named Musumase. This monument is the center of all spiritual power in Molotovo Village, beside the stone graves, which have existed for hundreds of years in Kedakanga. The graves will be used as the last eternal resting place for Mozalaki.
Kedakanga, rumah tempat ibadah oleh seluruh para Mozalaki.
Kedakanga is a place where Mozalaki worship the idols. The graves have levels. The center circle has a stone monument called Musumase as the center of spiritual power. The stone is worshipped as an idol. People put offering in the upper part to symbolize the sky, and in the lower part to symbolize the earth. The stone monument is buried by Mozalaki in the temple center called Pusenua in Liyo language.
In the end of the series of ceremonies, all people and Mozalaki do pandak and gali dance, accompanied with Golamba traditional music, to show gratitude for the smooth construction of Sauria. That's the culture and tradition in Molotovo traditional village, a traditional village with hundreds of ceremonies which are still maintained. A village with megalithic site which is still preserved until today. Hopefully, this information can broaden your insight about the cultural diversity in Ende, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara,
그냥 그만 놓으면 좋겠지.